Hey, welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 113 for Monday, October 14th, 2019.
This week on the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about mine and Robert's latest issues with technology. Also, as always, the beer we're drinking.
And then crazy news, if that wasn't crazy enough for you.
You forgot about the random shit.
I did?
Well, we talked about random shit.
That's true.
We should bring it up.
Tell them. We should warn them, really.
Do you want me to tell them? I was going to let you do it.
I can handle it.
I know you like to get your airtime here, so just let's go. Tell them about the random shit, Robert, and then tell them about the crazy news. We can't just skip things all the time.
Okay. Well, I can do that. Oh. And then we'll talk about the random shit.
It's an important part about the episode. Yeah. It's an important part of the episode.
Right.
So tell them what we did between the beer we're drinking and the crazy news.
Oh, okay. And then we'll talk about the funniest things.
Because, I mean, it's a good amount of the episode. Right? Like, you can't just ignore the fact that this happened. Like you gotta tell them what to. You gotta foreshadow the random shit area of the episode.
We gotta hook them.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, and then we'll talk about the things that kids say on their funniest test quiz. Something.
What?
Well,
no, you're we'll just talk just about the funny things. Don't worry about it.
It's funny kid answers on tests. It's, you know, kids say the darndest things to Bob style.
Tests.
Yeah, right.
That's good. No, perfect. Yep.
And then.
Oh, then what do we do?
Then we get to crazy news because after random shit, we do crazy news.
Correct.
And this week.
It's the flow of the episode.
We're going to talk about a mail truck.
Okay.
Some camel testicles.
As we should.
A thirsty burglar. A Randy cat.
Oh,
a meth test and a Nigerian court case.
Oh man, there will be penises.
I don't want to tell them about the clitoris because that'll give it up.
No,
they'll skip all the way ahead just to hear that.
It's gonna be clitoris, penises.
Yep,
all the anatomy, even camel testicles, not human testicles.
Well, I mentioned that
camel testicles. We will talk about.
I mentioned that.
Wow, what a fucking episode they have in store for them.
Well, we feel bad we missed last week. And and who knows, maybe next week too. We got to give them something to look forward to.
You never know. All right, we'll give the assholes what they want for this week.
It's a lot of teens.
All right, so a lot of teens going on. Luckily, I don't have anybody in the teens. You're not so lucky, but you know.
Yeah. Not too much longer though.
Not too much longer.
You got all your stuff working this week. All your Apple gear. We didn't talk last week because, you know, I finally got my phone. A little bit of troubles there, but.
Yeah. After hours and hours with Apple, a conversation with a guy named Simon from their executive office, and everything is as it should be. I have a phone that doesn't have a scratch in it. I don't have a redundant plan. They're not sending my own phone back to me or anything like that, like they were originally telling me they were going to. And in the meantime, we switched from T-Mobile to Verizon, so elderly You're listener back. Would stop complaining about her cell phone service. Yeah, but boy, man, the process to switch over between just issues, things with me never happen as they should. That's the problem. It should be as easy as going to Verizon's website, typing in your IMEI numbers, which are basically device ID numbers. Yeah. And, you know, agreeing to some things, setting up an account and, you know, going to pick up the SIM cards or waiting for them to be delivered and then putting them in the new phones. Nope. I spent about 5 hours on the phone total to get switched. But the good news is we are back with Verizon. And I wanted I really wanted T-Mobile to work out because I think they care about their customers more. Yeah. I think they're a better company. I liked knowing every single month my bill was exactly $180 for five lines.
Yeah.
It was never $180 and a penny. It was always exactly $180, which I like round figures. So yeah. I think I kind of like that, but at the same time, you know, you got to go with where the service is, and Verizon just has a better network when all is said and done. So
yeah.
Back with Verizon for the time being, but we'll see.
Well, I can
and quit, they're giving me 200 they give me $250 a line to switch over to, so not too bad.
Well, that's good. You can use that money for a lot of stuff. Some more furniture for Kelly, probably.
God, put that shit right out. Wait, just load those cards right onto Wayfair.com. Kelly.
Well, the room looks good. That's the good thing about it. You know, at the end of the day, you forget after a little while, you forget that you've paid for it or you're paying for it, however you did it, and you just enjoy the room. So it's fine.
We don't finance anything. That shit's paid for. I'm one of those. We have an Amex and we have an Amazon Prime card.
Yeah.
And like I pay them every day, every couple of days I pay it off because I just hate having those credit balances on there.
Yeah. No, I'm almost the same way. She obsesses. I'm like, it's fine. Yeah, we got a month to pay it. So what?
Let her ride.
Yeah, she's a little bit more. She's a little bit more in tune with that than I am. But anyhow.
Let's just say we've been burned in the past with credit card interest, and we prefer not to go back to that.
Well, no, I have too, and it's from many moons ago. I bought a dining set, and it said no payments, no interest for it was 12 months. We'll say I don't know what exactly. So I went at the very early stages of online banking. I said, well, shit, I can do that. And I don't even have to look at it. So I took the amount. I went to my online banking. I divided it by 12 and I set it. It was due, let's say, the 15th. And I said, all right, give it a week, put it on the 7th. Well, what happened was by the time it rolled around to the 12th one, even though I paid it off before then, they hit the interest on the 11th month.
Oh no.
And what happened was that the interest was equal pretty much at that point was equal to the pay of what I paid for the furniture.
It was doubling it.
Yeah. So I paid $1,700 for this set. And then I get to last month, I'm like, sweet, I got another $100 left or whatever it was. And the last bill comes, it's like $1,900. Like, what are you talking about? Well, and their logic was what I have with Ben a lot of times too, like 3, 2, 1, you know, and he's like, oh, well, that's it. It's like, no, you go on 0. You don't really go on 1. It's like, well, it's 3, 2, 1, and that's it. It's like, no, there's a 0 there. You got to. So that's what they did was they counted day 1 as month 1. The day I went home with it, that was month 1 already.
So what you need to do is go home and make a payment right away.
Yeah, that's how it was. So you couldn't divide it by 12. So, oh, well, no, that's there. That's there. I said, no, that's 0.
Did you make them fix it?
I went crazy. I had to finance the damn $1,700 to begin with. So I didn't have the money to then, after paying it off, to then pay it back again. Right. So I was fucked. So I went round and round and I called them, and this was Wells Fargo, by the way. And it's like, look, you know, I'm ready to buy a home. I've got all this stuff, and I will make sure that I never use Wells Fargo again. And they fixed it, and I swore up and down that, you know, it would. And I still remember it. It's probably 20 years now, and I swore up and down, even though they did eventually take care of it. Like your thing with Verizon, it took forever. So I finally decided, you know, never going to be Wells Fargo. So fast forward 20 years, and we buy this house, and we do it through the credit union, and I don't even know if think we did it through. Anyhow, we did it through a bank. It's like, all right, sweet. About 6 months later, we get a letter in the mail. Congratulations, your home is now owned by Wells Fargo.
They sold it for servicing.
Yep. So my
employer does a lot of servicing. Wells Fargo does a lot.
Yeah. So I'm like, shit. So every time we pay them, I think about that. I mean, that was probably one of the worst things, you know, because again, you're young, you're starting out, and yeah, we probably didn't need to buy that furniture, but it was nice. And it was like, all right, this is going to last forever. And get down to the last, what I think is the last month, and then get hit with a finance charge. And Yeah, it was not a lot of fun. So I feel you. My phone, I got my iPhone and I sent it back, the old one, back to the iPhone upgrade program. And it's lost somewhere in FedEx. So I had to call Apple myself and say, hey, you guys sent me this label. You have a record of it. And they said, yeah. I said, hope you insured it because I don't know where it is. I opened up a ticket with FedEx. I said, I don't know what you guys did with this, but it still shows it's on a truck somewhere. Yeah. So they're somehow they're going to take care of it, I hope. But
why is this so difficult, though? Like, why?
It shouldn't be. And I have another thing I sent back to Amazon. No. Same thing. It's sitting at a UPS store. UPS store says ready for pickup. Well, they pick up every day. I don't know why it's still sitting there. So I got to call them tomorrow. And so I've got two packages that are stuck in nowhere. So I don't know. It's just been a weird week technology wise.
Man, I'll just never hire you for a logistics job. That's for sure.
I handed it to the guy one time. I dropped it off at work in like one of those boxes and I didn't get a receipt. And then the same thing, it showed up like 2 days where it was like never picked up. Like, I know I put the damn thing in there. And finally it showed up and I said, never more. I'm always going to hand it to somebody and get a receipt back for it. And now here we are 3 months later and the exact same thing's happened. Although I do have a receipt, they're lost too.
Oh boy. Well, you know what? All this bitching from the both of us about all this is making me thirsty.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
That's great. All right. I'm breaking tradition with my beer here. I'll tell you about that in a little while. It's your turn. Right.
That's all right. So this week, I have another one from Oddside Ales. And Oddside is more of a regional brewery. They only distribute in Michigan, Illinois, Ohio, Wisconsin, Kentucky, Pennsylvania, and Minnesota. So if you're outside of that area, like in Virginia, for example, well, you're shit out of luck. But what I have this week, I'm always cautious when it comes to banana because I love banana, but I've tasted some beers that are supposed to incorporate banana that are just fucking nasty. But this one is the Foster the Banana Barrel Aged Imperial Ale from our friends at Oddside. And what it is, it's an Imperial White Stout with lactose, aged in bourbon barrels with bananas, cinnamon, vanilla, and brown sugar. It's 9.25% alcohol by volume. Fuck if I know how many IBUs it is because it's not listed on there. And actually, that was the entire description right there. So I have nothing else to read. But nonetheless, it caught my eye because there's literally just a bananas Foster right on the bottle there. Ooh. And it looks delicious with the ice cream and the bananas and the caramel and the brown sugar. And so I'm hoping that it shines through. I'm hoping all those flavors shine through in the beer itself and it doesn't, you know, taste all nasty. So we'll find out right now. I'm hopeful, but, you know, I'm always... So the beer itself, by the way, it's a nice kind of amber color. Yeah, it's a little bit lighter than what I often drink, but, you know, that's all right.
Looks like mine.
Very strong notes of banana, too. I mean, I can smell the banana. I can smell the cinnamon. So far, so good. Let me see what it tastes like, though.
It tastes like dessert?
Ooh. No, that's really good. It's very much a desserty beer. Again, it's one of those, like a lot of the beers that I drink on the show, where you don't want to buy a six-pack of this, because you will... Kelly just texted me, switch the laundry, by the way.
No.
Robert says no. Robert says, hold on a minute. Robert says, do it your damn self. There we go. I know you didn't say that. I'm putting words in your mouth. But anyways, back to the beer. So really good beer. Very strong flavors. I taste the bananas, the cinnamon, the vanilla, the brown sugar. It's all kind of in there. It's very sweet, very desserty. It's a good one-off type of beer. Again, you're not going to buy a six-pack of it. But it's really good. They really did a good job incorporating the flavors with the beer. Get a little bit of booziness with the, you know, it's a little bit higher in the ABV content, but
yeah,
it's a good beer. I rated it a 4 on Untappd.
So you wouldn't buy a 6-pack of it, but you rated it a 4, so you really should have another 6-pack.
Well, okay, so it's one of those, you buy a 6-pack, but don't drink it all in one sitting, right? Is what
I was
saying.
It'd be too much.
It'd be a lot of flavor. And a lot of sweetness in just, again, one sitting of anything. If you're gonna get that much sweetness, just fucking make a bananas foster. Let's be honest. I have had Oddside one more time previously on the show. Episode 62, Unicorn Saddles. I had a Java Chip Mint Stout by Oddside Ales, and that's all I've had so far. You have not had any because you can't get it where you are.
No, but we had. But it's good. We had, and I just had it up. We had a Wells Banana Bread beer by Charles Wells. I've had that as well. Not Charles Wells, but
I think I've had it on the show.
You did. You did. Episode 15, Find the Toenail. I've had it as well.
I did.
I've said that twice now. I've had it as well, but it was.
Have you had
good.
One?
Yeah.
You've had it though.
Yes, I have as well.
Oh, I wasn't sure if you had it as well. So.
Also, is what I meant to
also,
say. Also.
You've had it as well.
Well, that sounds good. I wish I could get it down here. I do like the banana. I do like vanilla. Those are my go-to flavors. So I'd like to have that, but I've got something, and I remember in years past and episodes past and seasons past, whatever you want to say about this show. But I, in the month of October, and we missed last week, which is kind of throwing things off a little bit. I like to dig into the various Oktoberfest seasonal beers. So this week I've gone back to my friends at the Three Notched Brewing Company in Charlottesville, Virginia, which I did visit a month or so ago. It was very fun to actually step in somewhere where I greatly enjoy their beers. But I've got their Imperial Oktoberfest, and it's called their Hansel and Kettle Imperial Oktoberfest Limited Release. And I was a little bit worried because I didn't find a whole lot of information about it on their website, actually really none. But it says it was canned on September 18th, so less than a month ago. Pretty darn fresh, and enjoy by December 17th. So they give you a couple months, but a lot like yours.
Three solid months.
This is the nice dark amber color.
A little cloudier than mine. Mine's a little more translucent.
Yeah. And breaking with tradition, normally when I have a beer on the episode, I will like to have it be the first time that I have experienced it. But these were really calling to me in the refrigerator, and I sat down and watched the Bohemian Rhapsody movie a week or so ago, and I drank the other three. So I had this one left, and I wanted to drink it on the show because that's the whole reason that I got it. So I will tell you about it and then take a taste. And again, this is the three-notched,
I forgive you.
three-notched Hansel and Kettle Imperial Oktoberfest. The beloved fairy tale of Hansel and Gretel has no connections to Virginia, but it is a great example of leaving your mark and a great tie-in to a German-style beer. The two German children were able to leave their markings in the form of pebbles and breadcrumbs in the forest to prevent themselves from getting lost. We are leaving our mark with an exciting twist on a classic German beer. This Imperial Marzen-style lager is big in flavor with a bready, breadcrumbs perhaps, biscuit caramel flavors of a traditional Marzen magnified.
Oh.
The big blend of noble hops makes this beer a perfectly balanced brew. So I don't really, 8% alcohol by volume. Doesn't say what the IBUs are because, again, there's nothing on their website that explains it. But I'm going to drink another big old gulp of it and tell you what flavors I can taste. Smells some caramel.
Dad, if you're listening, I have an Obama bulb here for you.
It's good.
Like 100 watt equivalent, too. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
No, no problem.
You were talking about beer.
I was getting ready to. It's very malty, and it's very, I guess it is true to the Oktoberfest styles. The Imperial makes it have a bit more of the boozy taste to it, so it does have a punch. And I think that 8% alcohol by volume will definitely get you. But I like it a lot. It's got the bit of the caramel flavor in there. I'm not quite sure where the bread comes from, but it definitely is malty and perfect for this time of year. So I finished my last of these, and they were fairly expensive over there at the Norms. So I will see if I can get some more. Maybe Total Wine will have some, but I like it a lot. If you can find it, it is Three Notched Brewing Company Imperial Oktoberfest, available in a 4-pack.
Oh, nice.
And I rated it 3 3/4. It might push to the 4, but it's starting off on a 3 3/4 for me.
Nice. You know, sometimes you have to start somewhere just to get a base, and then you adjust accordingly.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever gone back and re-rated it, but I mean, I could.
No. I mean, it could be a four. I think I find it's very good. I don't know whether it, maybe because it is a bit more of the seasonal and maybe this style of beer I'm not really into. So I think the 3.75 is still solid. I would buy it again. I don't know that it hits the four where it's like I really have to have it. If I see it again, I would pick it up again because I do enjoy the flavor, but it's not one of those that pushes the four where it's something that I'm just going to actively seek out. That's my take.
And you're not going to get one of those every single time, but you know, it's if you see it on the shelf, just like my Foster the Banana. If I see it on a shelf, I'll probably grab it, but if you know, I'm not going to go ahead and go out of my way to get it. So here the other day, Harrison says, and I don't know where he comes up with these things in his head.
He's a schoolboy now.
But he is. He's in kindergarten now. The other day, I'm driving. You know, I'm in the car. I'm taking Colin to soccer, and Harrison was. So I was and I had Harrison in tow as well. And we're driving down the road, and Harrison goes, "Daddy, you know, bees can't sting other bees." And I said, I guess they can't. I never really thought about it.
Yeah.
But you know, my assumption is they don't sting each other. That'd be a problem. But you know, it just reminded me of just some of the things like because I have my pull my finger POTUS, which if you remember,
that is so wrong.
We're on our way into Home Depot the other day, and he's just randomly repeating the phrases that the pull my finger POTUS says. He's like, "That was made in China." Like, and it took me a minute to even realize, I'm like, what is he repeating? It all sounds familiar. I'm like, oh, he's talking about the pull my finger POTUS. But anyway, it inspired me to find a list. And I think we've talked about some of these things like this on the show before.
Yeah.
But just like funny things that kids say or do, and so what I found was the it's actually 50 plus kids quiz responses that went viral on Ranker. Yeah. I figure maybe we can review the top 20 because they're pretty damn hilarious.
Sure.
And I've only read like maybe one or two of them, so they should all be pretty funny.
All right. Well, we'll start with 20, I guess. And that's you, because
all right,
I'm on. Yeah,
I do the evens. You do the odds. So number 20. So again, these are quiz responses. So the question was: name six animals which live specifically in the Arctic, and they wrote two polar bears, and then it said three, and they crossed out three and put four seals.
Well, because two and three is five, and they said six animals.
Exactly. So I thought it was pretty funny. They corrected themselves.
Yeah. The next one's pretty good, and it's, you know, it's one of those kids when you kind of look at them where they have that attitude, they just don't give a fuck. But it's a maze, and I like to do these as a kid. It says, "Guide Davy Bones to his treasure," and they've got a picture of the maze, and rather than draw their hand through or draw the line through the maze, they just basically drew a straight line from the Davy Bones dog to his treasure, which was his chest full of bones. So it's just a straight line.
The kid's a genius. Why should Davy have to walk all the way through the fucking maze when he can just write? He's literally standing 3 feet away, it appears, from his treasure. Just walk over there.
The shortest distance between two points is a straight line.
Exactly. Davey's got his shit together. Yep. Number 18. Question is, what do you think is the best solution to overpopulation? Support your argument with examples. It just says the Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Oh, man. Real life Hunger Games.
Yeah, that's good. Number 17. And I think we've all done this. This is an authentic parent signature, and the parent signature on the kid's homework just says "mom." And it looks like he wrote it with his non-writing hand. No, I mean, Melissa doesn't sign her stuff "mom." I don't sign my stuff "dad."
No, I don't think that's mom's actual signature.
No. But how will they know?
Exactly. And this, I feel that it's not fair because this answer was marked wrong, but it's just write an example of a risk. And it just says this.
That's good. Thinking outside the box. Probably an older kid.
Sorry, just run ahead.
Number 15, Kyle shows his work. And he writes 2 plus 2 equals 4. And then he explains himself by saying, I can do math. So, can't spell. That's all right.
But I can do math.
Oh, that's man. Him showing his work. I'm going to save that one. That'll be in the show art.
I can do math.
Yeah.
Number 14, the length of a football. Which is the best estimate for the length of a football? Which is the best estimate for the length of a football? The choices are 1 foot, 4 feet, 5 feet, or 8 feet. And he marked the 1 foot and then wrote B-A-L-L after that. So it says 1 foot ball.
That is the best estimate for the length of a football. Would be a football.
And actually, you can't mark that that's wrong exactly. Because one foot is the best estimate. But it's just funny that he said put 1 football is the best
estimate. 1 football is even more accurate than 1 foot. Name this quadrilateral. So they have number one is a square. Number two, a parallelogram. Number three is also a parallelogram. Although I'm sure there's a different one where it's a rectangle. Yeah, but one's a rectangle and one's yeah. more of a square, and then the yeah. fourth is an actual rectangle, and so is three. So what he did exactly? This is me filling these out. So he named them rather than number one being a square, he named it Bob. Number two, he named Sam. Number three, he named Harry. Number four, he named Tedison. Number five, he named Kate
with a C.
Yeah. And Harry with one R. I've never known anybody named Tedison, but that's pretty good. Although it's a girl, that's Hope. She wrote her name up at the top. That's pretty good. Name the quadrilateral, Bob, Sam, Kate, Harry, and Tedison. That's pretty good.
Number 12. How to show up late for class, it's titled. So it says the question, it's kind of like one of those, you fill in the blank, you complete the sentence.
Yeah.
And it says, if I am late for class, I will... It says, burst into class and comment on Mr. Thomas's mustache. And it says, Mr. Thomas will blush and say thanks.
That's probably Hope when she's older.
That's Hope right there.
All right. Number 11, even numbers.
Tedison.
Yep. How many days are in a week? 7. How many months are in a year? 12. Is this number even or odd? 68, which is even. And he says, how do you know? So it's because I'm smart. And the teacher, of course, corrected it because the number in the ones place is even.
But it's technically right, though.
Yeah. Well, I'm smart.
Yeah. What are you going to do? All right. Number 10. A little kid wrote his letter for his teacher after he was told she was sick. Dear Mrs. Clark, I heard you did not feel good. Well, when that happens, here's a trick to learn. Just go poop. I am not kidding. It works with me every morning. I feel bad. So last, remember, when you feel bad, the first thing you do is poop. And there's a little illustration, and this must be Mrs. Clark. It says, I don't feel good. And Mrs. Clark, the stick figure, is rubbing her belly and says, I've got it. And it's like a light bulb over her head and she's thinking about the toilet and it appears to be a log of shit going into the toilet.
That's pretty good. Number 9, kid tells it like it is. And this is from Frankie. He says, in the pre-written stuff, there is iron money at home by, and then he fills it out, says, I don't. I'm a freeloader.
Good for Frankie. He's living his best life on that one.
Yeah, telling it like it is.
Oh, boy. Number 8, historical accuracy. The question was, where was the American Declaration of Independence signed? The answer, at the at the bottom.
It's pretty good.
It's true.
Definitely wasn't Detroit. Number 7, Miranda. Miranda can't see anything when she...
Michigan wasn't even a state yet, asshole.
It was still a colony. Miranda can't see anything when she looks down her microscope. Suggest one reason why not. She is blind. And the teacher gave it an X and said, nice try. That's bullshit. That's kind of the answer I would have written, honestly. I got in a lot of trouble as a kid.
See, these days, though, you could say if she marked that wrong, that she's...
It's a bad teacher.
Yeah, man.
That'd be worth a conference.
All right, let's see here. Number six, accurate. It says, in a word, describes school, and it is put hell in all caps.
Number five, why are there rings on Saturn? And the answer is because God liked it, so he put a ring on it. Well, the teacher wrote back, Saturn was not a single lady.
Oh, man. Beyonce jokes in school.
Yep. Good stuff.
All right. Number four, suck it up, kids. It says, fill in the solutions, directions, read each of the problems and come up with a solution for each one. So the problem, which is pre-written is you fell on the playground and scratched your knee. Solution, get up and deal with it.
I like that. We were just talking about that bitch the other day where, you know, you have kids like Ben, he playing baseball, and the last week or so, he's really gotten beat up. He's been tagged in the face. He got tagged by a kid who basically shoved him face first down into third base. And another time he got hit by a pitch. So he's got these things. I'm like, well, that's good because he doesn't really have a lot of that. And he doesn't have, you know, when the kids are playing, they're not really rough. So he gets hurt. It's like, you're fine. You're going to survive. So this kind of thing is kind of what I'm working with him. Like, hey, you're fine. Your arm didn't fall off and nothing's broken. You're not bleeding. Yeah. You're scraped up. So what? But you're a kid. You need to have these experiences. So
yeah, brush yourself off.
Suck it up, buttercup kind of treatment. And Melissa was talking about somebody else that they had that. She's like, oh, I didn't really agree with it. Say the kid had a, you know, an injury. It's like, well, you know, she'll be fine. It's like, well, okay. But, and I kind of think the same way, but I there's probably a happy medium in there where it's like, all right, well, you know, at least acknowledge them and then tell them to go. Yeah. Where I'm just like, just get up and, you know, go in there and quit crying. So I don't think I handle it all that well.
Well, that's why they have mothers, because they're more sensitive to that.
Somebody
stuff.
Else. Like, get out there and crush the ball.
Hey, so you don't have to worry about belly it. Aching.
I told him I'd sign him up for ballet.
As long as one of you cares. All right. Number three.
I care that he stops crying.
That's true too.
Yeah.
Why is it asking me for my Apple, my password?
Well, I can't take it because I'm that'd be out of order.
Well, you're number three, though.
Am I? That is me.
I already did number four.
Oh. No, maybe because I had an anecdote. I felt like
I
it
said
was mine.
I said the answer, and then you yammered on for a while. Now it's your turn to read number three.
That's what I do. All right, number three, Warren's future. Just draw a picture of what you will look like in 100 years. And then it asks you a question. In 100 years, I will be blank years old. And what good old Warren did was he draw himself a tombstone and he wrote Warren on it, R.I.P. That's true.
I mean, he's being honest, right? He'll probably be dead.
Yep.
Probably. All right. Yep. Number two, she's not wrong. The question was, what ended in 1896? and the answer is 1895.
That's true.
That's true.
Alexa, what ended in 1896?
Here's something I found on Wikipedia.
Oh, good.
1896 was a leap year starting on Wednesday of the Gregorian calendar and a leap year starting on Monday of the Julian calendar. The 1896th year of the Common Era and Anno Domini designations, the 896th year of the second millennium, the 96th year of the 19th century, and the 7th year of the 1890s.
So far, this isn't working out the way I had thought. Thank you.
The War of 1896 ended. War of 1895 ended. Was it what the, well, I'm trying to think. 1896.
I don't know.
It doesn't matter.
I think you're thinking more of 1812, but.
That, well, that didn't last that long.
No, it definitely wouldn't have ended in 1896. But number one, the key to a successful marriage, and I think we can both learn from this one. The question is, how would you make your marriage work? And the answer is, tell your wife she looks pretty, even if she looks like a dump truck.
Even when she looks like shit, you tell her she looks great.
Right.
Oh, boy. That's good.
That's good stuff.
If you want more.
Yeah.
More of these things, you just, well, you just go to Ranker. Well, you go, no, you don't even have to do that. Just look at the show notes.
Right.
I work really hard in the show notes, so fucking read them. And I mean, it takes me at least 5 minutes to type these things up. And there's a link to the page on Ranker where you can just view the whole list of the top 50 things. Yeah. I'm sure there's many other hilarious things that are on there. So I
sometimes the best
foster
part of the show is the show notes. Oh,
sorry. Sorry to interrupt you. I finished my Foster the Banana.
Yeah. What do you got now?
I'm drinking a, I'm trying to remember if I've actually drank this on the show from Elk Brewing, the PB Porter. I think I have.
You did.
Yeah. And it's all right, but mostly I'm drinking because it was sitting on the table right here.
Yeah, 109. Grandma's bucket list.
Yeah. I don't remember when this was placed on the table, but so it's going to be room temperature, but you know, that's kind of my thing with beer tonight.
September 2nd, episode 109.
That was a good
episode.
Pizza's
good. Pizza Diaz, Popeye's chicken patty on a bun.
That was the one with the geriatric gangbang in the park.
No, that was a different one. Oh, no, maybe it was. Yeah, no, Pig Mask, Pokemon. You're right.
I know what I'm saying. I know. All right, let's do this. Let's do crazy. Let's do crazy news.
I like looking back at the old stuff. And I like when we talk about the beers, when we mention the old show titles, it's always fun because I don't always remember exactly the episode, but there's something about the show title that just kind of brings it back up again. And
do you ever go back and listen to old episodes?
I have no.
No, I tried to listen to the first episode months back.
Horrific. Again,
and I'm like, oh my God, we sounded like we're not great as it is right now, but I mean, like, I'm listening, I'm like, God, it sounds like we're fucking at the library. Not fucking. We were at the library. We were.
Oh, yeah, I would have bleeped it by then.
I said fucking, you bleeped it. Like, I don't know if we were going for like a PG-13 type of podcast.
I was very paranoid.
Yeah, you were really paranoid. It's a stark contrast from our podcast today where our first news story takes us to Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
Where a chick decided to go tits out and steal a mail truck and then hits a bus and flips the mail truck. First off, why do you steal a mail truck? Because it's not like you can, other than for the pure joy of stealing a mail truck, because it's not like when people steal cars, normally it's because they're going to take it to a chop shop, they're going to sell the parts. There's no black market for fucking mail truck parts, though. Like, what are you going to do with it? But anyway,
it just looks
takes
cool.
us to Portland.
That's
yeah,
wild.
We're a topless woman, like I said, tits out, steals a mail truck, hits a bus, and then flips. A topless woman is accused of stealing a U.S. postal truck and hitting a TriMet passenger bus before flipping and crashing in northeast Portland. Police say Monique Cortez Munoz stole the USPS truck from the 1600 block of Southeast Alder Street just after noon on Thursday. She drove away and hit the bus near Northeast Wasco at 162nd. Three people, including the driver, were on the TriMet bus at the time of the crash. TriMet bus officials told KOIN 6 News. Her passengers weren't hurt. The driver wasn't seriously hurt, but did ask for medical help because she had just, you know, well, wait, no, that's the bus driver, not the the tits out check. Never mind. The woman kept driving, and as police tried to stop her, the truck flipped and crashed near Northeast 155th and Fremont.
Oh yeah.
Police said she tried to run away with her tits just bouncing and dangling out, but flopping around, but was taken into custody after the 12 block foot chase. Man, she made it 12 blocks before the police caught up to her with her tits just flopping around. Cortez Munoz, whatever, faces charges of possession of a stolen vehicle, attempting to elude police in a vehicle, mail theft. I mean, technically, I guess she did steal the mail. Unauthorized use of a vehicle, attempting to elude a police officer on foot, reckless driving, resisting arrest, interfering with a police officer, and failure to perform the duties of a driver. Oh, boy.
She wasn't properly trained. That's
what a rap sheet there. It's unfortunate. Yeah, it's unfortunate that the mugshot that we have here on the website stops at the neck.
Yeah. Yeah, we like to see what we're getting here with this news story.
Yeah, I'm serious. I mean, let's face it. She's not going to be a Victoria's Secret model anytime soon, but I would expect, after hearing this story, I would expect somebody who's a little bit lower on the hotness scale, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
But then again, she did make it 12 blocks, which leads me to believe she was in somewhat good shape.
That's true.
She didn't
pass out.
Yeah, good for Miss Cortez Munoz. Should be all right.
Well, I was looking, trying to figure out maybe if she just maybe washed and combed her hair, if that would take her up a couple notches, but I don't know. Not sure.
And by the way, and sorry, my fucking sock fell off. I don't know if a sock falls off. I could be wrong, but I remember seeing another article that insinuated this wasn't the first time she had stolen a mail truck either.
Oh.
Kind of a thing. She's got a fetish.
Could be.
Maybe the Postal Service didn't hire her. She tried to get a job there, so decided to do it on her own.
Yeah, any picture of her shows pretty much that same mugshot, except for there's one of her in court. Actually, there's a video of her in court. Let me see. I don't know how to share my screen. This fucking Skype. If you search, I'll text it to you, and you can You can review that while
I need to see this.
While I do the next story here. Looks like she might be a little high.
I feel like you'd have to be a little bit high.
Yeah. Well, the next story while you're watching that video comes from our friend Tony, who's a friend of the show. And like I said, we're still trying to get our guest on here. He happens to be out of town this week. But Tony would also like to join us. We'll get him on here soon. He sent this over to us, and it comes to us from Louisiana. And I don't know. I want to say that this is something that I never thought would go together, but imagine a truck stop petting zoo.
All right. I'm imagining it, and okay. I'm loving it.
Okay. So the title of the article, it comes from our friends at Fox News. So you know it's fair and unbalanced. So, and I know I did say unbalanced on purpose. It's camel's testicles were bitten by a woman at a Louisiana truck stop petting zoo.
Nice.
Said authority.
Oh, authority.
Yep. A woman bit a camel's testicles at a Louisiana truck stop petting zoo and was cited for... I don't even know if you can make that up. Was cited for criminal trespassing, according to reports. The woman, a Florida resident, was chasing her dog when she crawled into Caspar's enclosure at the Tiger truck stop on I-10 in Gros Teet.
The Teet?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, it could be something. Is it, Alexa, where is Gros Teet?
Tate County, Mississippi is a U.S. county in Mississippi.
It shares
a border with Panola County, Mississippi, Tunica County, DeSoto County, Lafayette County, and Marshall County.
Alexa, where is Gros Teet, Louisiana?
Tate. teat.
Sorry, I don't know that.
Yeah, see? Anyhow, she told deputies she bit the 600-pound camel when he sat on her. And it happened on Thursday. She said, I bit his balls to get him off me. I bit his testicles to get him off me.
Oh, boy.
Yep. Iberville Parish Deputy.
Only in Florida.
Only in Louisiana. Louis Hamilton Jr. told the paper. The woman was brought to a hospital. Deputies gave her and her husband a summons. Was he jealous that she bit the testicles? On the trespassing charge for not having their dog on a leash.
It was very small testicles.
Yeah, the camel did nothing wrong, Hamilton told the paper. They were aggressive. The camel was doing its normal routine, whatever that is, at the truck stop petting zoo. Truck stop once had a tiger, provoking controversy. Pamela Boussier, who manages the truck stop, said the tiger had never attacked anyone, nor have the zoo's other wild animals, including Caspar. He really is a gentle giant, she told the paper about the camel.
Oh, man.
Poor Caspar. I feel like he needs to be, just needs to be let go. Just released into the wild, Louisiana.
This Fox Nation bitch at the bottom of the story is pretty hot, though.
I may or may not have stopped on that. She looks like she could use some food. That's the only problem. You'd get over it. What's the next story?
Next story takes us to, gotta help Florida.
Pennsylvania, Rob.
Oh, Pennsylvania. Man, I can't believe we're in our third story. We haven't been to Florida yet. Like some sort of fucking record.
Well, the last one, right. She was from Florida. She just traveled over the border.
Exactly. See, I knew Florida was involved somehow in that.
Yeah.
They always are. All right. This takes us to KLFY.com.
Oh, good.
Which is a CBS station. And the title is Homeowner Finds Naked Man Singing in Kitchen and Drinking Milk.
Oh, good.
Because if I were naked in somebody else's house, that's what I'd be doing. Erie, Pennsylvania. Authorities say Pennsylvania homeowner who heard someone singing inside his home found a naked man drinking milk in his kitchen.
In the rain.
We've all done that at some point.
Yep.
Erie police say the homeowner heard the singing around 3 a.m. Monday. He grabbed his pistol.
Oh, no.
Went to investigate.
I always have my pistol in my hand.
Soon found the man sitting on the kitchen floor. The homeowner called police, and the man was taken into custody.
Oh, but
Wasn't clear now how.
How?
Wasn't clear how he entered the home or how long he had been in the residence. No injuries were reported, though. Nobody got hurt, Robert. That's important to understand. His penis was fine.
Oh, good.
The man's name has not been released. Authorities have not filed any charges against him so far, but they say the investigation is ongoing.
His name is Dick McCracken.
Oh, boy, that's great.
That is good. Now, I wonder if he had a cat. I think he would.
The guy, the naked man or the guy?
The naked guy. I wonder if he had a cat. Cat named Randy.
So tell me about the cat named Randy.
Well, I don't know if his name is actually Randy, but he was Randy. This one comes from our friend The Mirror in the UK, so you know it's real. It says a Randy cat needed a glucose drip after mating with 5 females in one night. And I don't know how they know that, but maybe there were reports. But a Randy cat was placed on a
video. You can watch it.
Was placed on a glucose drip after mating with at least 5 females in just one night. And I'm at the age where I need that after 3. And I don't even know how to say this. Jalpy, a Russian blue, was left at a pet hotel by his owners, Mr. and Mrs. Zhao, in the Guangdong province in South China on October 1st. Well, they didn't know if they had the same months as us. The cat was exhausted and in need of fluid therapy after having sex with 5 other pets.
It was A fucking cat orgy.
His owner, Mr. Zhao, said he had notified the hotel that his pet had not been neutered. They were planning to eat those later. The following day, he discovered Zhao P had left his cage during the night and had made it with at least five other pets.
Damn, son. You can
tell because there were five different pairs of underpants on the ground.
He has a mom and boneless chicken.
Yeah.
Fucked five other cats. Called it a day.
Good.
You're going to have to come to Michigan to have some mom and boneless chicken one day. It's good.
He shipped me some. Mr. Zhao wrote on social media, I thought they'd be professional, but the staff member didn't feed him during the day and let him roam freely at night. That's right. All cats were free to walk around the shop, and the employee went home. Well, that's probably fine. Between 10:40 p.m. and 5 a.m., my cat mated with five female cats, and those are the only ones I could see in the footage. How he knows.
Good for that guy.
That's how he knows.
He probably jerked off to it, too.
Yeah. And the pet hotel had the nerve to be upset with me, saying some of the cat owners weren't planning on having kittens and wanted me to explain the situation to all the other owners. My fucking cat is now exhausted and on a glucose drip. We need Samuel L. Jackson to read all that. The cat's owner later said the hotel.
Happening?
I don't know. The hotel, probably never. The hotel apologized and offered to pay for the Russian Blues fluid therapy.
Nice. Now,
I'm going to save this picture of this cat because it looked like he's high as a kite. And
that cat is just in dire need of sleep.
Yeah, they're going to compensate each pregnant cat's owner 56
fucking
pounds.
Five different women in one day is tough.
Yeah.
I imagine a cat would feel the same way.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah,
now we're going to come back across the ocean to the great state of Alabama.
She is fucking hot. I'm saving this image.
Look at that. Moly moly.
We're making her my wallpaper on my phone.
Where an Alabama woman calls the sheriff's office to test her meth.
She's Kelly's contact photo now.
According to Limestone County deputies, a Tony woman was worried her methamphetamine was unsafe as opposed to, the safe methamphetamine. So she called the sheriff's office. Deputies say Jennifer Hall called dispatch, and when deputies arrived, she pulled out a bag of meth. According to the deputies, she said, I want this dope tested.
She's got to get that big bump on her shoulder blade tested, though. It's black. Yeah,
that looks cancerous. Hall thought the meth was tainted with another drug. Another dangerous drug, according to the sheriff's office. Deputies arrested her and charged her with possession of a controlled substance.
Oh, no.
And she's officially the dumbest fucking criminal of the night. What the fuck? This meth's got something in it.
She doesn't rate on the hotness scale at all.
Oh, God. She's a -4.
Yeah, that thing on her shoulder blade, it makes my shoulder blade hurt. It's like an itching. Like I want to just pick at it.
Yeah, I don't mind the tattoo as much as the fact that she's
the other side
enough and her meth addiction to contact the police to have them check the quality of the meth she had purchased.
It's the other shoulder blade. Do you see it?
You're talking about the big mole, the precancerous cell growing on her right shoulder. No, I see that too.
It's like a black olive.
Dude, I love olives. Don't say that. Looks like a fucking gigantic raisin just growing on her. Imagine the one on her face.
Oh, man. Well, the one on her lip has some catching up to do.
Oh, boy.
Our final story.
Oh, yeah, where's it taking us?
If anybody's still there, well, it's going to take us to Nigeria, Rob.
I feel like everybody's probably already checked out.
And I was hoping to plan the order of these so that this one ended up in your lap after last week.
Oh, thank you.
But this one again.
I'm sorry that didn't happen. Is it all about penises?
It's close, Rob, but it takes us to Nigeria. We're from our friends at World News Daily Report.
Pants there.
I'll put that out there. or a Nigerian court determines
okay.
that a woman with an 8-inch long clitoris is legally a man.
Oh. I mean, if your clit's bigger than my dick, you're a man.
The Supreme Court of Nigeria pronounced a very controversial ruling this morning, declaring that all women with a clitoris longer than 7.5 centimeters or 3 inches can now be legally considered as a man.
And, fair enough.
Is that even possible? Good. In a unanimous decision, the 5-member Supreme Court panel led by Mary O'Dealy ruled that 36-year-old Isioma Adeyemi's request was perfectly sound and legitimate, ordering that her legal status be changed immediately. Miss Adeyemi celebrated her victory, which puts to end a 7-year legal battle for the woman with an exceptionally large clitoris.
This is
the greatest day of my life. My first husband repudiated me because my clitoris was bigger than his penis. Now I finally have some justice.
You Mr. gotta hate when that happens.
Miss Ina Shevchenko, leader of the radical feminist exhibitionist group Femin, describes the ruling as a great advancement for African women in general.
Why is this happening?
Small number of women just obtain a great boost in their legal status and are now in a position to help their peers. It's a great day for women. Under Nigerian law, Mrs. Adeyemi can now own land, have several wives.
Could you vote?
No. Work at night, and can no longer be legally beaten to the level of grievous hurt by her husband or male relatives. You know, the two bobs certainly do not condone that. According to governmental experts, over 600 other Nigerian women have a sufficiently big clitoris to apply for a change to their status. Nigeria is only the second country in the world to offer women with large clitoris the option of becoming legally considered a man. Uganda offers the same choice to all women. Yep. With only larger than 5 centimeters or 2 inches. Only 11 women have legally changed their status to men since the law has passed in 2011.
Praise
Holy
Jesus.
Shit, Rob.
What a great day to be alive, Robert.
Yeah, that's true.
So if you're in Nigeria listening to the two bobs and your clit is more than 8 inches long, you could be a man now.
Yeah, let us know. Don't send any pictures. We'll take your word for it.
Call it to the podcast. Call in and let us know if your clit's 8 inches long or not. What the fuck? Oh, man.
A notarized note from your doctor will suffice. No pictures are necessary.
A notarized note. It's got to be notarized, though, or it doesn't count. Oh, man. That's from our friends at World News Daily Report, where they as always, report the most hard-hitting stories that nobody else wants to talk about. Like the San Diego Zoo stories. You hear about this one, Robert?
I don't think so.
Well, a rhino apparently had a 96-hour-long erection after teenagers fed it Viagra.
What?
Yeah, a rhino. It was dragging on the ground.
Huh.
Or the zookeeper that was arrested after trying to molest a 500-pound male gorilla. That's always a bad idea. What? Or the 91-year-old old Catholic nun, she auctions her virginity to rebuild the Notre Dame Cathedral because it burned
down. That's good.
It burned down, so this 91-year-old nun is going to bang you if you'll help her rebuild it.
Well, that's nice of her.
That's good. You know, good. It's for a good cause.
Yeah, it's true. Something I think everybody can get behind.
The nun or the cathedral?
All those things.
I don't know.
You decide. It's like choose your own adventure.
She's 91 years old.
Yep, it's true.
I break her.
Fine. Yeah, it's fine.
All right, she's great.
All right.
This is great. This has been a great episode.
Well, hopefully we'll see you next week.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. Oh, words of their own. not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast, or just go to the fucking twobobs.com, stop being a little bitch, and just own up and do it.